League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on to Grid Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. I got to tell you what, I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast and appreciating it because I'm enjoying it, doing it, and appreciating the time from our guests. But we've been on a roll, we've been bringing it, man. Unfiltered's living up to its name. So I am Morenci. It's Morenci Unfiltered. You can get this show on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and wherever else you listen to your favorite podcast. Get all the information over at sportsgrid.com as well. We're obviously in crazy times right now that continue, and they're not going to be ending anytime soon. But midweek means that we break it down with Lou. We're one night away from the National Football League draft right now. That's like the biggest sense of normalcy that we have in our collective worlds right now. The mayor of Las Vegas, a city that I know Lou likes to frequent and a neighbor of Lou in Arizona, is in the news for all the wrong reasons, is Carolyn Goodman. Keeps doing interviews on TV, and they're not going very well. Like, we'll put it that way. These interviews are not going very well for her. Dana White says, we're fighting, or he hasn't said, he never came out and said it. MMAfighting.com came out and said it, but a pretty reputable source, MMAfighting.com, came out and said that they have learned that the May 9th card that Dana White has said that it's going to be going forward will be in the state of, you guessed it, Florida. But location unknown still. It's like the little boy that cried wolf. It's getting hard to keep up with all this stuff. Let's bring in Lou to help sort us through it all. What up, Lou? Gamblu, how you doing, Lou?
Doing great, and hope everybody out there listening is healthy and as sane as possible. Great to be with you, Gabriel.
All right, yeah, sane as possible. So yeah, that's the start here. So let me ask you here, too. And I don't think you probably didn't see the interviews, but Carolyn Goodman, she's adamant. She wants to open up Las Vegas. She doesn't have any control to. Like, she doesn't really run anything. Like, she's more token. Las Vegas is a weird, it's weird when it comes to the counties and who's actually in charge. And she's not. And, the governor has the real say anyways. But she's been very adamant. She wants to open up the casinos and I know the Wynn is talking about opening up, basically, and they're gunning to open up in mid-May. And they sent out surveys to actually people that have stayed there before and have bet there about, you know, would you come here? You know, what if this? Would you eat in the restaurant still? And, you know, they're going through the process right now. But I'll ask you, Lou, you're neighboring right now. Would you feel comfortable going in and hanging out in a Vegas casino right now?
You know, that's really a great question, because I've got a buddy that can't wait to get out there. And as soon as he possibly can,
he says, oh, as soon as they open, he's in. Yeah,
it'll require him to take a plane to get there. So I'll say that. So he's willing to take more risks than me. All I got to do is get in a car, drive up there. And I think there's going to come a time when I am ready. And it's probably going to be before many people would probably do it themselves. I just can't say, because everything's fluid and it changes. But I believe, again, based on the fact that I think I've already had it, and I really think that in the next month or 2 months, as they phase out of this thing, I think more information is going to be known, and I'm an optimist, and we'll be able to lift our way through this thing. I know I'm not answering your question, but I wouldn't go there immediately to say that no. I don't think I'd go there immediately.
No, that's a good point that you raised. You know, time will change everything. Yet for me, it's sort of like, put it this way. Let's say the sports book was open right now. The sports book was open and, you know, you couldn't hang out, but you could go in and place a bet and leave. I would do that. You know what I mean? So I understand them like opening the doors, but the thing is, sports betting is nothing in the grand scheme of things. So I'm just stating, and you don't need to do that because you can do it on your app. So why would you want to risk any of your health and go in and just place a bet? But I'm saying, I understand, like, okay, like I'm not of the thing of, oh, I'm too scared to leave my house and go outside, but I would wait in line, you know, like 10, I don't even like the 6 feet, like even a little further away from people, but I'm not scared to walk in and say, all right, here's my bets on the NFL draft and walk out. But there's no way in hell I would sit and just hang around and like sit at a blackjack table with people and stuff, Lou. That's what I don't think the mayor understands. She's like, well, the casinos want to open and she's going to open. It's like, no one's going to go sit there. And what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to drink at a table with a mask on, Lou? Like, they think about these things. Like, they're like, oh, everyone needs to wear a mask. All right, fine. How are you going to drink? You going to put a hole in the mask, a little straw? What are you going to do?
Well, as they begin to talk about opening Vegas, they talk about the phasing process. And I'll just try and boil it down and say it succinctly. For a town or an industry that requires so much on mass and people and volume, what they're going to do by phasing this back is, I hardly know how it's going to help them. For a business that's tailored for masses to have to sit every other slot machine, instead of a baccarat table having 8 people, now you're going to have 4 people. Dice table, you're going to have to be spread out so you can't have a big crowded dice table. Plus, they're going to sanitize dice when one shooter goes to another. There's going to be no more card rooms. Forget about card rooms.
Yeah, so no flow at the table. Exactly. So no flow at the table. I know they're going to,
right,
after every card, after everyone touches everything. I saw the criteria, Lou. No, we're going to wash the card, wash the dice, wash. Wait, hold on. Disinfect it. Hold on. And that's not fun. There's no flow to gambling. And you know what I mean, Lou? It's just, I get it. You adapt with the times, and years from now, people will be like, yeah, whatever. Everyone's going to have a hazmat suits on and rubber gloves and whatever. But yeah, it's a challenge for them. And as you stated, Lou, they deal on volume. So it's like, so that, you know, the win is saying they're losing $3 million a day right now. Well, before you were saying you were losing $2 million a day when you were open and no one was in there. So which one is it? You know what I mean? And you're going to open up again. And even by safety standards, as you stated, if you ease it in, you can only have 25% of the capacity. So what's the point of even being open? I get at some point you have to phase in, but it just seems to me it's better to do it for real at once as opposed to trying to force this stuff. But I mean, what? So you get a couple of degenerates to come play the slots, local Vegas people? No one can travel. It's not even planes right now, Lou.
I can tell you in practicality and in real world practice, they will open with all the rules and regulations adhered to. And what they will hope is that there's a tsunami of people because ain't nobody going to enforce anything if they go overboard.
Yeah, it's a good point, too.
Make no mistake about that. You think the Vegas PD going to be in there enforcing, density in population in casinos that are bustling when they finally get something back and they're employing everybody? I mean, what Vegas is going to need is time, and that's all that's going to help it.
You know, Vegas, it's interesting. Vegas is always known. It's like on thin ice. It's a weird, it's like gambling itself, Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, but before, it's all, never mind the fact that they're going to run out of water, right? Like, that's another thing, that they don't have any water, but that's besides the point. But Vegas was always built on gambling, and they did a good job, Lou. Look, you're in real estate, so you know, they did a good job over the last, like, two decades or so getting away from it. You know what I mean? Like the Vegas casinos got away from gambling. So that's another thing that people don't realize. So I want to bring that up. So they realize we can't just live on gambling forever and people coming here and doing hookers. Like, we're going to have something else, you know, to this. And, you know, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, that's something else to that. The Raiders was something else to that. Summerlin and the suburbs and Henderson and the development of the, you know, the schools and the suburbs and the lifestyle was something besides the Strip and Vegas, right? They started to get away from it, and it worked. They started to turn into a real city. You see their population took off. You know, the real estate started to go back up, et cetera. It wasn't just a bunch of degenerates living in empty houses everywhere suddenly. But on the other flip side of this, they get hit. Vegas is a poor town, Lou. That's what, like, you know, the underbelly of this is too, right? They got a 16% poverty rate as it is. It's a desperate city. I live there. Like, it's a mirage, that place, literally and figuratively. And I'm not talking about the casino. But so even the casinos, Lou, gambling revenue really isn't that big for them. You know what I mean? It isn't. Like, any casino that relies on gambling is screwed. And let's just be real. The casinos that make money off of gambling are like the local spots. You know what I mean? Like the station casinos, the Fertitta's guys, he's making money off of gambling. He doesn't have frilly stuff in his casinos. So he's making money off of gambling. But for the most part, like the Wynn, they don't make money from gambling. They're making money from charging you $350 for a bottle of vodka at, you know, the bottle service. They're charging you $100 to get into their nightclub. They're overcharging you for their restaurant, right? Like that's the catch of Vegas. Where the revenue, who cares if your casino's open? So what? Even if you get a couple of degenerate people and a bunch of people come play Baccarat and the Asians come. All right. So you have a little pocket of a couple of gamblers in a $4 billion facility, Lou. You know what I mean? You got a $4 billion building and you got 300 degenerate gamblers. Good for you.
Well, what you just really perfectly described there is the Vegas – that is, in my opinion, the Golden Nugget, the Circa, the Westgate.
And Fremont the South Street. Point. Fremont, the, money, and, you know, slots, you know, billions. They make money from gaming. But
No. What you described is a handful of three or four, you call them small places, but places that deal with profit on their sports books are guys like the Westgate, the Nugget, the Red Rock, the South Point, and none of those are on the Strip. And you hit it perfectly when you said the Wynn, because the Wynn's on the Strip. And any place on the Strip does not worry about the casino has become just a ticket item on an accountant's spreadsheet. And that's why there's no more comps. There's no more common sense. And those places don't care. You just exactly what you said. They don't make money from it. So it's shrinking, and it's a club LA bottle service scene, and that's what the Strip has turned into, and that's why an old saddle like me still goes to those gambling joints and not to the Strip.
Yeah, and you know what? I see South Point, actually. South Point's taking this pretty hard right now. You know, they don't have the big corporation. Like, you know, the strip is all MGM, pretty much. Like, MGM pretty much owns the strip. You know, so they can absorb this stuff. Let me just see the South Point. South Point furloughed.
They had to furlough a lot of people.
Yeah. Most employees indefinitely right now. You know, it's tough. It really is. It's just tough for everybody. There's just so many walks of life and ramifications to all of this moving forward. And, you know, I was thinking about it, actually, with the super contest and everything. I saw our boy Vegas Matty on Twitter. And, you know, his economy is the super contest. There'll be football, but how many people are going to Vegas now to enter the contest suddenly? You know what I mean? Not as many as they used to. I'll tell you that much. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go, enter a con? Because I saw the poor guy. He sent out a thing. Oh, early bird sign up. And I'm thinking, yeah, early bird sign up. Like, when are they kicking off? When's the NFL season kickoff? December 5th? You know what I mean? Like, who knows, Lou, right? I don't know. Like, that's what I said. The last sense of normalcy we have is this NFL draft. And eventually Dana will get one of these cards, right? Eventually this will happen. So let's swing into that. We'll get into the NFL draft a little bit. But yes or no, May 9th, are they fighting in Florida, Lou? Do they pull it off? Are you biting?
Not yet. I want to. I want to believe. I really wanted the 18th of April, and I really want this May 9th. But yet none of the big wigs, not your MMA fighting, MMA junkie, even Akimoto at ESPN, nobody's confirmed it. So I'm not going to get excited yet.
Yeah, MMA fighting was the one that threw it out there. But it is true. Nobody... you know, MMA Junkie's a pretty mainstream one owned by USA Today. They've backed off of it. You know, people haven't confirmed it yet. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, really, it seems, you know, listen, the report was that it's in Florida. They don't know where in Florida, but that the fighters were going to fly into Jacksonville. They were going to be brought through Jacksonville and then brought to the location, that it wasn't in Jacksonville. And I don't know. It almost seems to me that they would just do it at the Vince McMahon's place, man.
Makes total sense.
Yeah,
and then,
Vince, he's an essential service. He's open. It's all political. DeSantis is tight with Trump. He owns his governance to Trump. He was like a nobody. Trump, like, prompted him up there. Linda McMahon and the money. Let's just be real. Dana's in that circle. It seems to me, hey, if Vince is doing it, hey, Vince, can I come use your place for a weekend, right?
It makes sense to me. What I'll do is simply wait until it's announced, because it make no mistake about it, the location will matter. I mean, then all of a sudden, a lot of the guys that are working out down in the gyms in Florida and such have to be looked at with a little extra premium.
Yeah, you know, some of them do, and some of them don't want to fight. Yeah, anyways, that's the whole thing with these cards, right? Like, you know, this, you know, you'll see the odds up and it's tentative, this and that. And the fighters don't even know half the time, Lou. Like,
there's a lot of unknown in the, I think the fighters,
no, like Amanda
have a
Nunes,
lot of unknown.
Amanda Nunes basically said, I never agreed to this. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? She said, I never agreed to, like, fight here and do this. And then she came out and said, I'm not doing it. She said, hey, I'd love to fight Felicia Spencer. She goes, I look forward to fighting this girl, but I ain't fighting her on May 9th. Right? And, and I guess Dana found out, like, she basically shot that down publicly. It's like, well, scratch her from the card. Right? Like, that's the whole thing at this point. It's like, I don't know, man. You know, Lou, I'll buy in and I'll bite when they have a damn location. It's like last time. Like, if Dana White's going to be secretive, and if it's to the point, you know what they say, Lou? Like, you're a married man. Like, when they say, well, there's nothing wrong with a cup of coffee and that. And they're like, well, can you tell your wife about it? Right? Isn't that the saying? You know what I mean? Like, if you're doing something wrong, would you tell someone you respect, would you tell your grandfather you're doing this? Right? Like, I don't know if this is wrong. It's like, it's one of those deals. By them not ever releasing the location is like the message, Lou, to me, that, like, they know it's wrong. And it's like, it's not real almost. It's like, well, no, because you would say, no, point blank, we're good. We have the approval. We're good. It's here. Like, it's always so dodgy. It's hard to buy into it, Lou.
I totally agree. And that's why until I hear location and I see the, I see ESPN. It's not that I regard them as any banner outfit.
Right, hold that thought, Lou. Hold that thought. It's funny you bring up ESPN. Hold that thought.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Filter continues. We're throwing it down with Lou, gamblew.com. And Lou, you just brought up, you'll wait for ESPN. But I'll tell you what, ESPN picked up that last card last time before it was official. At least they did on their banner and their ticker, right on the bottom. It said, you know, UFC, you know, scheduled to go forward, undisclosed location. That's why I thought it was comical when they sort of pulled the, oh, we had no idea this was going on. It's like, shut up. You didn't know. You know, yeah, you didn't know. You just, you knew a lot more after the government called you and Feinstein called you. I read a good interview with Frank Trigg about that. But, yeah, tough to buy in who's fighting, who's not, and all that stuff right now, Lou. It's hard to handicap this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't gone so far as to do any of it yet, except I have looked at some of the fights that were on the 18th card that remain, so far, to be named on this card, especially the main event. I mean, right now the line on the main event hasn't changed, and I think that's odd because if the card was on the 18th, Gaethje would have had really a short time to prepare for Ferguson. And now with another 2-4 weeks added onto it, you got Gaethje with more time to prepare, meaning that I think he comes into the fight better prepared. And Ferguson, even though he did make weight and everything, now he has to hang 10 for another month and wait for Gaethje. That line should have changed, and it didn't. And I still see some pretty good value on Gaethje. It might be a good time to maybe buy in a little bit right now on him because that price is too high.
It's interesting, the dynamic, if they do end up fighting. I think it's a negative as well. I mean, we have to say that it's an advantage for Gaethje that he gets the extra time. But for me, Lou, I think it's tough for Tony Ferguson, what he's been through psychologically. As an athlete, you know, finally on the verge of the fight of your lifetime, the championship for real. You're an intern champion before, but, you know, the real undisputed, you beat this guy, you're the new kingpin. Even if you don't, you're going to make a bunch of money. And you can tell that Ferguson enjoys everything about it. So, you know, you can just tell he was finally, and he's been through a lot in his life too. So, you know, he's in a good place. Hey, big fight, money, finally I get to fight Khabib. Doesn't happen again for the fifth time. Doesn't happen again. There's the weird stuff about let's fly here, let's fly there, this and that, and all the other stuff. Meanwhile, he's continuously training, albeit in a primitive fashion, but he's continuously training. And look, he posted a video the other day, Lou, in which he made weight. Right. He posted pretty slick. He was like, hey, look, I'm on weight. And I saw him say, I'm training all the way through. And he said, I'm going to keep training until I fight. He basically said, he's like, I'm not like stopping. Like I'll be. They said, what's your training? And he goes, I never stopped. Yeah, I never stopped training. I don't think that's good. I think that's draining at some point, Lou. Like how many damn months can this guy train for a fight? At least Gaethje's going to be fresher.
I believe that to be the case. Let's not forget Ferguson's 36 years old, and right now, even though he thinks it's the best way for him to approach it, I believe that if, in fact, they fight on May 9th and it doesn't go well for him, he'll look back on it and wish he hadn't.
Good point. Yeah, he'll say, I overtrained.
I mean, but they don't know that at the time. I mean, right now, he's just a badass trying to stay ready. But no matter who he fights on the 9th, unless it's somebody that is really short on time or he has some advantage, I think it's not a great spot for Ferguson to begin with. But if he still remains against Gaethje, my interest is way more peaked in that fight after this extra time for Gaethje, more so than it was on the 18th, because I consider Gaethje a much better buy at the current price of plus 150, 155, wherever you're seeing him. And I won't wait too long once I know this fight is on, if that price is hovering there. And quite honestly, what's the harm of taking a decent price now on Gaethje? If the fight gets called, you get your money back.
There's some, I tell you what, if the card gets put, if it actually came together for real, it's a pretty kick-ass card. Like, there's actually some cool fights on the undercard here. What I'm surprised about, and I remember you and I talked about this, so the Cejudo, so if the card goes on May 9th in Florida, as the report was, but it's not confirmed, it's still Gaethje and it's still Ferguson, and Cejudo and Dominic Cruz. So Cejudo's good to fight anywhere, this guy. He doesn't care. Like, you know, he doesn't need a mask, Cejudo. Like, Cejudo will go anywhere and fight anyone right now, pretty much. Anyone that he thinks he can beat, I should say. But, yeah, Henry Cejudo, minus 250. You and I talked about that. I don't know, the number feels low. I have a lot of respect for Cruz, but Cruz is kind of old, beaten up. His knees are shot. Surprised the number's not higher. I'm seeing FanDuel right now, Cejudo, minus 250.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well. You know, that's an interesting one. I definitely think Cejudo is going to win that fight. But I tend to think that could easily be a really two flies in a mason jar decision. So I wait for props on that one. I may find better value on an over, or fight goes to decision, or even Cejudo by decision. Right now, fight goes to decision minus 150. You know, so that means the total's probably a 3.5 or 4.5 somewhere, with some juice to the over.
I used to hammer Cejudo fights to go over the number, and I won quite a few times early. Like, I bet it big. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, $500,000 and stuff, and I was nailing him. And then, of course, I don't know. I think I might have even been at the stupid fight. But same crap. I put like $300 on one of his fights to go over the number. And I think I might even been a parlay playing puke, as you would say. And I had it. It was a pretty big loss I had. And it was like the first time that he flashed the leather. He knocked someone the F out in like 7 seconds or 10 seconds or something. Totally ruined my night, man. I was like, I've never liked the guy because of it since. It's funny how, like, sometimes you can hold a grudge against a fighter for costing you, or sometimes you hold a grudge for a fighter for beating you. For Cejudo, I was like, man, this guy, you know, like, there's football teams, Lou, there's always going to be a team where you're on the wrong side of the game somehow. It's like, again, it's like, man, somehow whenever I have the Eagles or whenever I have the Dolphins, I'll get screwed in some weird way. Like, for me, it's the Houston Rockets. Like, if I have a total, Lou, if I have over 218, it'll land at 217. If I have the under 221, it'll go to 220. Like, if I need a free throw, they'll miss the free throw. Like, if I need a stop, they'll let the other team score. Like, LeBron's like that with me. Like, whatever LeBron does, Lou, screws me, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, all right, I need LeBron to miss this shot. Like, so to go to overtime to hit my over, he hits the shot. Like, I need LeBron to miss the shot to win my bet, he makes the shot. Like, for LeBron's been terrorizing me, bro, for like, you know, 15 years, man. And so who knows, one of these fighters, Lou, that I've been on the wrong side of his fights a few times.
Well, when that happens, I suppose you got to just try and avoid his fights.
Well, I don't like betting. Yeah. The numbers are
always
weird.
There's always 12 on a card. It doesn't. I don't know that it happens to me as much in that matter that one guy will get me or one angle will get me. But I can tell you, when I have a run, it doesn't matter what I seem to do. You're just going to have some funny ones. I don't know that my flaw in fighting is I'll tend to get enamored with a guy that maybe should be a plus 200 and he's plus 300 or 320. And I get a little greedy trying to take that extra dollar. And the guy goes out there and lays a colossal egg and I feel like a 14 carat idiot. And that does happen to me once in a while.
There are guys, everyone approaches this stuff differently, right? Everybody approaches it differently. It's sort of like college football where there's so many different conferences. There are so many different fighters now, and especially now. It's trickier than ever right now because there's way more fighters. I mean, it used to sort of be really manageable. You know, 150.
My UFC database has 700 and some guys in it.
Wow. So that's
or guys
that's,
and gals.
Yeah, so it's over 700 fighters that have fought before then, right? So they're in your database. Wow.
Yeah, but no, and that's active. I mean, when they leave the UFC, and it's only UFC. So when they leave the UFC, they come off because I need the space.
And I believe because with the Fight Pass and the UFC shows a lot of different companies now and stuff like that, where. I think it's like nearly 1,800 now. Like basically loosely under contract. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if you're fighting on a UFC platform, whatever, they have the right to sign you. Like they basically signed everyone in the world, essentially. You know what I mean? Like they just went on a signing spree. They'll release people every now and then. So like I can't lie. I mean, there's a million fighters I don't know, man. You know, Chinese guys and guys that are fighting at 5 a.m. on Fight Pass and all this. So it becomes trickier and trickier now, with so many fighters. It's hard to have that insight on everybody. I sort of like focusing in on a gym, or it sort of happens naturally for me, Lou. There's some guys that I'm just good with their fights, and it's sort of like teams and conferences. Dave Malinsky was a great handicapper, may he rest in peace, and he talked about that. He said, people try to be an expert in every college football conference. There's just so many of them. He said, you're better off just being a real expert in like three or four of them and really knowing the games as opposed to just dabble in everything. And look, you have an insight to the lab in Arizona. You know what I mean? Like there's going to be certain pockets, certain fighters, certain trainers. Like I swear, Lou, Ryan Bader, CB Dalloway, Aaron Simpson, Cain Velasquez. Cain a little different because he just won all the time. But I swear, Lou, like I nailed those guys and I knew them. And it wasn't like, ooh, they told me things that I could tell. I was like, man, he's going to lose. I was like, I remember once they were training for a fight, Dalloway and Bader, and things like they were winning and losing. They weren't really on fire at this point in their career. And I remember they were telling me, and I knew someone really close to them, and I spoke to them and stuff and said about how they ran like 10 miles in the desert in Arizona and they're doing this and that, and how hard they're working. And I was thinking, these two guys are a class, like Ryan Bader is a classic example of hard work's never been your problem, Bader. You're a hard worker. Like we all know you're a hard worker, right? It's like fight smart. Don't fight hard, fight smart. And I remember telling someone that. At the time, I was like, man, these guys are working their ass off and they're all ripped and stuff, but they're not any better as fighters than they were like when they made these mistakes before, and they're going to lose. And I told their manager that point blank. I said, and you know what he told me? He goes, I hate to say it, but I think you're right. And I was right. You know what I mean, Lou? Like, I just sort of knew. It's good to know, like, really know a few fighters inside out. And, having insider information, like Joe Odessa is a good example, Lou. Odessa has a lot of inside stuff, man. Like, Joey knows a lot, guys. Like, Joey will tell you, oh, yeah, this guy, like, he got stitches in the gym 2 hours ago. Joey's aware of a lot of things. But it doesn't always help you win a fight. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard stories, Lou, about guys being on their deathbed after weigh-ins, and then they win a damn fight. And there's other guys where you find out, oh, he's got a bad knee, and you win the bet because of it. But, you know, too much information kills. It's a fight game, Lou, right? It's so unpredictable, the fight game.
It is. And so you have to, first of all, you have to try and gather as much information as you can. And then after you gather said information, you have to weed through it to try and quantify exactly what it's worth. I mean, it's like panhandling for gold. The first bucket you pull up is full of weight, but by the time you get through it, you got one little teeny fingernail of gold flake, and the rest was all mud. So, I mean, it isn't easy, but I'll tell you what, I love it, and I sure hope we can get back to it here. May 9th would sure be good, and I'm just waiting for any major outlet to announce it, because then once it's real, three or four outlets will announce it, and then I can actually put the card together and start to handicap. I want to get to work.
That's a good way of putting it, though. I like that. Like the Alaska gold shows and stuff, when they go, they're sifting through. you got to keep sifting through. Hey, Pettis and Cerrone, that's a fun fight. You know what I mean? It's old school. It would have been funner 5-7 years ago. But it's still a fun fight right now. Frank Trigg, though, and Frank's a friend of mine. And Frank used to actually be – me and Frank used to do a show together, MMA Meltdown. He was my co-host when I was in Vegas. So I know Frank well, and Frank's an intelligent guy. And now a referee and a judge. And he says he doesn't think, you know, this is good. And, you know, he was asked if he would have worked the card in California. And he said no. And he knew it wasn't going to happen, basically. He said, I knew that was never going to happen. But said no, it was unsanctioned. And, you know what I mean? He's so sanctioned now. But, that you know, that's the interesting thing. Is it safe to pull off, Lou? Right? That's going to be the question in hindsight. Dane is willing to roll the dice and try to find out.
Well, I hope it isn't that. I hope that they determine that it can be done safely. And then once the event is held, let's hope that everyone is safe. And because it would be stupid for me to try and want to watch fights at the peril of somebody's actual health. I'm not that selfish. But I do want to get my livelihood back, and I know these kids need to fight to make money, so we need to all get back. Let's just hope we can do it responsibly, because that is the number one criteria, of course.
Yeah. You know, I spoke to, excuse me a lot, but I spoke to Russ Anber. He's Vasily Lomachenko's cut man right now. So he's part of Team Lomachenko. He's one of the best boxers in the world. He's trained like countless. He's worked with Wilder and Jean Pascal and the Grant brothers. Countless fighters. Good friend of mine. I've known him, you know, for a long time from Montreal. And I asked him, I said, so if you had a fighter now, would you let him fight? And he said, top tier fighter, champion, hell no. He said, up and coming fighter, no problem. Right? So there was no real moral. He didn't bring up the safety thing, and I kept bringing it up. I mean, look, they're wrestling right now, guys. WWE wrestling, they're still in a ring together. Whether they're punching each other for real or not, it's still the same damn thing. All right, we'll take a quick break, get into the NFL draft a little bit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on a grid, sports grid, Marenzi Unfiltered. The podcast continues. We're talking with Lou, gamblu.com, and Lou's into, he's into football, fighting, and hockey. Football, fighting, and hockey. Although he's not an NFL draft expert or anything like that, but he does bet on the NFL on a weekly basis. And, of course, the NFL draft, the NFL draft, is rapidly approaching, Lou. It's a sense of normalcy. Everything's in the air after the fact. Will the NFL be able to kick off on time? I don't think so, but I do think they'll play, but not. They're not going to. There'll be no fans, obviously. But my prediction for the NFL, Lou, is that they will play, but maybe they kick off a little later. You know, maybe it's Thanksgiving. Maybe it's November. This is just, you know, my. And I follow everything. So, you know, this is from like doctors and mayors and governors, et cetera. It could be a problem, I think, until like October or November for like such a big undertaking of the National Football League. But I do think they'll play, and I don't think they'll play in their normal stadiums. Like that, I'd almost guarantee you, like the Giants aren't playing at MetLife in New Jersey. And the Jets and stuff. Like, California, I think, is closed. Like, I think the NFL is going to have to set up shop like baseball sort of wanted to do a bit. Like, you know, in Texas and Florida and bang through the season type thing. But obviously, there's a lot of racetrack ahead of that. But so the draft is the last thing that's scheduled. And any NFL is screwed. Like, then, you know, everything else. Their mini camp is canceled. Training camp is on the verge of being pushed back. So for people that think, oh, how the hell do you know what's going to happen in September? September's not that far off, guys. May's around the corner, and then boom, you know, June, July, August, bam. It takes NFL football teams a while to get ready for an NFL season. So we're on the clock right now with this stuff, but I do think there will be eventually NFL football, Lou, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are starting to annoy me already. You know, I liked the Bucs last year. I bet on them quite a bit. They came through for me, and they were good to me, actually, talking about teams good and bad. The Bucs were good to me, Lou. And I get it. Winston turned the ball over a lot, but he also threw a hell of a lot of touchdowns and for a lot of yards. And he made a lot of nice throws, and he can make plays for you. Arians doesn't have a ton of time left. He's older. He's had health issues in the past. He's a grumpy old man to begin with. He doesn't like young players, so I'm not shocked that he didn't like Winston. And so they bring Brady in. Fine. All right, whatever. You bring Brady in. Now, boom, you bring Gronkowski in. Are you a fan of what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing, Lou, with Brady and Gronkowski? What's your take?
Am I a fan of it? I don't look at it like that. I try and study it. I want to look at it like a scientist would look. Surely, Gronkowski and Brady, those names and that hype is going to fuel fire and fandom towards the Bucs, which is going to, in essence, equate in value if you want to look the other way. That's just naturally how things go. So really, you mentioned the draft and the Bucks in the same sentence, and I'm going to answer your question by doing the same, and that is there's no real way for me to get a full picture on any team right now until this draft is over, and because in the draft, it's the one time each year where a football team will lay themselves open for you and allow you to see exactly how they view themselves by viewing the picks that they make during the draft. So we really don't know a lot. What we do know is the Bucs got an old quarterback soothsayer in Arians, who I think didn't. It wasn't that he didn't like Winston. It's just that he, if he can't, if
oh,
Winston
he didn't like
can't
him.
Make.
He didn't
if
like
Winston
him,
can't if Winston can't make Arians happy at quarterback, he's out. And so he didn't make Arians happy, so he's out. Whether that was turnovers or not. But to get back to the Bucs, awful lot of hype. There's going to be awful lot of writing, lost a lot of attention. on the box, and that's just going to create, I think, good value on one of the other three teams in that South Division. That's just naturally how I go about thinking.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that point. He didn't like Winston, though. And I'm not saying he hated him personally, but professionally he didn't like him. And, you know, he didn't hide it after the fact. When he was asked, can you win without with a new quarterback? He was like, are you kidding me? Like, he took a couple of pot shots at Winston. Bruce Arians' reputation has always been that way. That's one of the reasons why he left Arizona. You know, yeah, he had health issues, but basically they wanted to go young at quarterback. Like, if you look at Arians' quarterbacks all the time, they're always old dudes. Carson Palmer, Stanton. He doesn't have patience. And basically, like, he told Arizona, I don't have patience for young quarterbacks. And you know what I mean? I'll just split type of thing. And then we'll go in a new direction. And we saw they went with Kyler Murray, et cetera, after the fact. But so Arians goes veteran here. But I like your point, because the only thing is the division's not great, right? But it's a good point that you raised, Lou, because now with Gronk and with Brady, yeah, there's excitement in Tampa, and you sell season tickets and all that, if there'll be fans, whatever. But, yeah, you sell jerseys, and, you know, there's excitement. But now there's also an excitement when you play the Saints and stuff, right? Now a guy on the Saints is like, yeah, I've never got a chance to murder Tom Brady before, right? Oh, he's a legend. Hey, cool, I'm fired up. I'm playing Tom Brady this week. I'm playing Gronk. And these guys aren't young right now, right? So, like, the Saints are still a nasty team. The Saints are going to be up these guys' asses. The Panthers are in rebuild mode. And then you get the Atlanta Falcons that are kind of a – the Falcons could be really good or they could be bad. I don't know. The Falcons are one of those weird teams, Lou, to me, that they could be 12-4, they could be 4-12 with the exact same players. You know what I mean?
Totally agree. It'll be but Atlanta's going to have more value to me now, because the pricing will have them more valued or higher priced. And I don't necessarily agree that they're going to be that far away. I mean, what's the over-under total season games that Gronk plays? I'd say it's 8.5, and that's a fair number.
Very, so, very, very good point.
So there's so much in the NFL to discuss. I'm not the biggest draft guy. I don't make any bets on it. But I can tell you my NFL season each year begins the day after it's over. So I can't wait for this thing to be over so I can actually get some actual data that the teams provide me themselves through the draft.
Yeah, and that's a great point that you raised, because they are laying out they're laying out their future, basically. This is who we are. We're rebuilding. No, we're looking to win now. And listen, Lou, I mean, it's way too early. I mean, Jameis Winston will be on a team eventually, right? Things are going to change. Guys will get hurt. Things are going to change. There's so much uncertainty about the season as it is. But, look, the New Orleans Saints are still favored to win that division at minus 110. The Buccaneers are plus 160. And this is just right now. Right. If they actually announce, oh, yeah, they're playing and whatnot, there'll be a ton more buck money that comes in. And the Falcons are at plus 650. Like you said, the Falcons are every bit as good as the Buccaneers are. They're actually better, probably. They're just as good. And even the Saints, that's a weird division here. The Panthers are a couple of years away, though. Matt Rhule, you know, he was successful at Temple, Lou, but it took him 3 years. Like, he really had, like, there's a pattern with this guy. Baylor was the same thing. But you know what I mean? Like, the first year at Temple, he sucked. The second year, they were pretty good. The third year, they were wicked. Baylor, same thing. Didn't win any, you know, hardly won. You know, second year, all right, get a little better. Third year, all right, you know, really good. And NFL's a little different, but it takes these guys a little time to, you know, put the program together. But if anything, there's some excitement with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now, though, Lou.
No question about it. And let's not, you know, as much as I'm looking to fade them, I don't put it past Arians to put the right recipe together to escalate this team. He took Todd Bowles, who was his defensive coordinator in Arizona, on the bounce after his New York Jet debacle, put him right back to work, and that Tampa defense is for real. There's plenty of scenarios where Tampa could really catch lightning in a bottle and do well. But as you say, it's early. We got a lot of more work to do, but the good news is, you know, in a week from now, we'll be able to sit down and look at all that data and assess teams with some actual hard evidence.
And I'll tell you what, the that's the one thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's what I was really impressed with last year going into the year. And I knew the Bucs were in trouble last year due to their schedule. The schedule was a bitch, man. Like,
it was brutal.
They didn't play a home game for like 2 months. You know what I mean? It was ridiculous. And I remember the league said, well, we ran 775,000 simulations, and this was the best one we got. It's like, I don't know, guys. You screwed the Raiders and Tampa both pretty hard here. So they literally didn't play. They didn't play a home game for like literally like 2 months. And they managed to go 7-9. And Winston like coughed up a couple of these games late too. Like that was the last game. And Arians didn't even hide it. He goes, that last game of the year, the turnovers were just too much. It was just like, said it wasn't going to change. And he said, the kid's a talent, but he just turns the ball over. Like he really didn't hide it. But just talking about their staff, as you mentioned, Todd Bowles, great defensive coordinator. Bruce Arians, a very good head coach. I don't like everything about him, but you know, he's a good head coach. Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator, Lou. You know, longtime quarterback, a guy that gets it, been in the league. They have an elite coaching staff they put together there, like very, very elite.
They do, but I will say this, just because I want to share, there is a school of thought and a camp that is of the belief that Arians is a big proponent about, you know, everybody being home with their families at the correct amount of time. And to say that this camp would call Arians a workaholic would be an overstatement. And so there is criticism to Arians that he is not burning the midnight oil in the office. And I have to say that I do know of that information. I don't know how much I believe it, but it is out there.
And one thing about Arians that, and that's a good point that you raised, Lou, but another thing about Arians is he rips his players all the time, like publicly though. And it's one thing, you know, there's a way to do it and he does it in a jerk way. Like it's never his fault after a game, Lou, you know what I mean? Well, they didn't make the play. He didn't do it. You know, I mean, I remember Arizona. I remember like they tied Seattle that night six years ago. It was like a Sunday night game. It was like an ugly, it was Thursday night or a Sunday night. It was really ugly. It was like, you know, Buddy, I think it was Canzonero's name. Buddy missed like a couple of field goals. Arians like flipped out after, right? About, oh, the kicker costs the game. And it's like, whatever, coach. Your team scored 6 points all night. You're the offensive genius. Like, you know, where, you know, yeah. All right, he missed the kick. You know what I mean? He missed the kick. Yes, he did. But where was your offense all night? I remember another time he cut the long snapper after a game once. It's just, it's like he never, it's never him, Lou. You know what I mean? He never accepts responsibility. It's always the player's fault with this guy in the media after.
He can be gruff. I know the way he speaks and the way his mannerisms are much more tailored to a player in my age group, I believe, than he is in today's age group.
Yes, yes.
Because I grew up with a guy telling me to rub dirt on it. You know, it's just how we grew up. But that way has changed, and you can't be that gruff old guy today.
No, you can, but you'll alienate them. And you know what's funny? You can, and I guess you can win, but not really. Belichick is a classic example. And if you look, Lou, the only reason you and I are having this conversation right now about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is because of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's not with the New England Patriots right now. Tom Brady's not with them because of him. And Rob Gronkowski retired because of Bill Belichick. And, you know, if we need any more evidence and proof, look how quickly Gronk just came back. Right? And
well,
wasn't happy. Like, Belichick alienates people. And his same thing, his gruffness and his old schoolness, it worked because they kept winning, but it also alienated players. Like, if you notice, Lou, everyone that leaves New England after says the same thing. Yeah, it was cool winning, but it sucks playing there. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it. You know, and listen, Lou, a lot of today's guys would rather have fun than win, all right, and not deal with that crap. But Belichick's not a nice person. Like he's not cool. Like if there's a difference, like Vince Lombardi is a hard ass Lou, and that's Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi had a sense of humor. Vince Lombardi would crack jokes with the team and like was funny. He, you know what I mean? He was tough, but he was funny. Belichick's just a jerk off, bro. Like in real life, like guys like play with concussions. He mocks them. Like he's not a nice person, Lou.
I would go as far as to letting you tell me that he's not a nice person as a football coach. But I've heard many stories of people that know him personally and on the boat, and even Jimmy Johnson, that say he's a prince of a guy. Now, listen, I don't know him, but I do know that you have to be one guy in your professional life and maybe another guy at home. And I think highly of Belichick, and most of the players I know that have played for him have a typical love of a coach that hated his guts when they played for him and would go run inside a burning building to save him after they played for him.
No, I would wholeheartedly disagree. Ain't no one running into a burning building to save this guy.
Teddy Bruschi would. Willie McGinnis would. The safety that used to play for the Chargers, it's on NFL Network, he would. I could spend an hour naming guys that would, Gabriel.
Yeah, I could also spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Ask Teddy Johnson if he's going to run
and
into.
And just like your list.
Ask Tom Brady. Why do you think Tom Brady's not there, Lou?
Brady will speak highly of Belichick.
Well, Brady's a robot, bro. Brady speaks so highly, he left, right? Rob Gronkowski retired because of Belichick.
Somebody's old guys.
You got 10 seconds. Sorry, Lou. You got 10 seconds to wrap it up.
I'll say this. While Brady's gone because of Belichick, Garoppolo's gone because of the owner, and Belichick had it planned out way better than people think.
And I'll tell you, yeah, Belichick might be cool to play golf with or on a cruise ship for 5 minutes, but you know,
I'd love to play for him.
There's a lot of there's also a lot of like killers and stuff, and the neighbors say, you know what's crazy, he was the nicest guy, I used to barbecue with him all the time, and you know. Thanks, Lou, we got to get out of here.
Thanks, Gabriel.
SportsGrid.com, betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.